famous Bill Henry Show.
Unlike Mexico's immigration law, which is brutally exclusionary.
What I don't like from the president's administration is this sort of, you know.
My son is not in a gang, and they have no reason to believe that my son is in a gang.
This is a state that leads this country, and they need to accept that responsibility.
I was born of a whore and bred as an assassin.
You blew it!
World-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast at 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. Right on through the old looking glass we go, man. Right through the, right into that kind of that extra-dimensional realm we go as we take a look at the world. Not just news. The world. The world. And this is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, also seen and heard online at philhenryshow.com. Right now, you can watch the show as we perform it. And you can certainly avail yourself of our archives and the downloadable audio that we'll have tomorrow morning from the tonight's show and so on and so forth until you're glutted with joy and ecstasy. Tonight we have an interview with Mr. Austin Amarca, who is actually a transplant from Texas here in California. However, we're going to talk about the Texas board adopting new social studies, Texas school board adopting a new social studies curriculum. Later on, we talk with Art Griego about the increasing efforts in the Gulf to clean up the oil spill and how the Southerners, the people of the South, are tough enough to take it. And from his standpoint, at least, we maybe don't have to hurry the cleanup because Southerners, they're used to getting their asses kicked and coming back and smelling like a rose. So we'll talk with Art Griego about that tonight. As well, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, and you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/PhilHenryShow or Real Phil Henry. Phil Henry Show or Real Phil Henry, and we're over on Facebook. We're all over the place. So the Texas Board adopts a new social studies curriculum. In a moment, we will talk with Mr. Austin Amarca, who is a native of Texas, is a businessman here in Southern California now, and get his take on this. The Texas State Board of Education officially adopted new social studies and history guidelines today for classrooms in an ideological debate over academic standards. That's what I should be putting up front. This is an ideological thing, guys. What that means is they're emphasizing certain areas of history and of contemporaneous events that they feel have been neglected. The board gave the curriculum a more conservative bent by dictating how political events and figures will be taught to some 4.8 million primary and high school students in Texas. The standards will also be used by textbook publishers. Okay, what are we talking about here? Well, we're going to get into that with Austin Amarca. But first off, I want you to hear from Randy Weingarten of the American Federation of Teachers. And Mr. Weingarten is not happy with what has happened in Tejas.
What is happening in Texas is that
did I say Mr. or Mrs.?
What is happening?
Ms.
What is happening in Texas?
Sorry.
Is that whoever is on that school board is trying to actually rewrite history by not allowing students to know what the truth is and instead attempting to create indoctrination and a political ideology.
Well, I hear what she's saying, but that. It's a very weak position to take because she's, you know, people are going to tell her, no, you're wrong. We're not interpreting history. We're actually telling you exactly what happened, which, of course, history is, oh, God, people love to play with it. History, that is. Reuters talks with NAACP President Ben Jealous and Education Secretary Ann Duncan about how this curriculum affects textbooks nationwide.
Texas is a state that leads this country, and they need to accept that responsibility, slow down, back up, and move in a new direction towards the truth.
However, others, including Education Secretary Arnie Duncan, say those fears may be far-fetched.
I think there's also been a misperception that what happens in Texas is going to have this huge impact on the rest of the country. I'm actually less worried about that. Textbook publishers have an ability to customize more than ever before.
All right, so there is at least the point of view of three people there, one of whom is with the American Federation of Teachers, another who is the United States Education Secretary, and another with the NAACP. And, it was interesting to see the NAACP interviewed in that piece because I suppose some people think that this will take on some sort of a racially explosive or racially significant, racially significant aspect. With me is Austin Amarca. Now, you are a father and a businessman. You follow Texas politics very, very carefully. You've been part of a group called Don't Mess with Texas for quite some time, and you support this, correct, sir?
Yeah. Well, absolutely, Phil. I think this is the way that the American education system is going to be going in the next 50 years, and I think it is logical that Texas is going to lead the way. I think that Texas has always led the way when it comes to political, ideologic, educational, technologic improvements for our country, and I don't think this is going to be any different.
Tell me about, before we really get into talking about this, what are some of the things they're doing? Why is this controversial?
Well, I don't know why it's controversial. I think what's been done needed to be done. I think, first off, the process of creating these guidelines, we have strengthened the requirements on teaching that the Judeo-Christian influence of this nation's founding fathers and the separation of church and state has not been taught properly. There is a very strong influence of the Judeo-Christian ethic among our founding fathers. That's number one. And the separation of church and state has been watered down, I think, to the point of meaninglessness. There's a separation of church and state, but not to the extent that we don't have prayer in school or we don't have religious symbols. The standards are going to refer to the U.S. government as a constitutional republic rather than democratic. Students are going to be...
Now, why are you not calling it democratic?
Well, that goes without saying. I think if you call it a democratic republic, it sounds like the people that have the better ideas are the Democratic Party. Okay?
You feel that calling it America Democratic strengthens what? The perception?
It strengthens whatever perception there may be that the Democratic Party runs the country, and it gives them an extra, it gives them an extra bit of publicity to recruit voters. And we don't think that is what we've got our children in school for, to recruit members for the Democratic Party. So there will be no mention of that.
Instead, it's a constitutional republic.
It's a constitutional republic, right. We're also going to be requiring students to study the decline of the U.S. dollar because the gold standard was abandoned, and therefore the dollar declined.
Can I interrupt you here, Austin?
Go ahead.
Are you not saying, when you teach this, are you not basically saying, we think abandoning the gold standard was bad, and we want children, our students, to think the same way?
Well, abandoning the gold standard was bad.
That's not necessarily the case. Have you read a history of that era? Because I have. The gold standard was abandoned for a lot of reasons. One of the reasons was during World War I, we couldn't get any money to Europe because banks insisted on gold. And so you literally had to laden ships with gold and send ships across an Atlantic Ocean where there were U-boats patrolling and blowing up everything that they saw. And in order to get this money to Europe, you had to send gold over that never made it because it was, in many instances, being attacked by German U-boats. So during World War I, you know...
Hold on, if you don't mind, Mr. Henry.
But I mean, what I'm saying...
Hold on for a minute, because you are exactly, if you don't mind me saying... What you're doing there is exactly what's wrong with the educational process. You're introducing a lot of clever talk that confuses kids.
What do you mean clever talk?
You're not talking about the basic idea that the gold standard, why do they call it the gold standard? They call it the gold standard because it is a gold standard, because it is the best way to do it. And we teach the children that the dollar has declined since the gold standard. And it also, the other thing that we do is we revisit the idea that Thomas Jefferson was the most important figure in American history. Thomas Jefferson was very important, there's no question. here in Texas, we feel Sam Houston was every bit as important as Thomas Jefferson, if not more so. From the standpoint of this, Mr. Renner, I'm not going to downplay Thomas Jefferson, but Sam Houston had proposed that the capital of the United States, as it had been originally, proposed for Texas. Now, he did that in the 19th century, but there is evidence that they wanted the capital of the country to be in Texas. That is very significant. He also was a soldier. Thomas Jefferson was not a soldier. Jefferson was more of a guy that wanted to sit down and write things, and when it got a little hot, he'd get out the window, you know. And so we want people to know, and the young people to know, that Sam Houston is a significant character in history that has been cut out of history for far too long. The other aspect too.
Sam Houston was a hero in Texas, right? But
no, he's a hero all across the country. Anytime anybody says remember the Alamo, they're talking about Sam Houston. The other thing, Phil, is that in our curriculum, we are going to talk to our young people about the abandonment of the death penalty, especially by hanging or firing squad, and how we have given over to liberals and lethal injection, and that the hanging and the firing squad was a death penalty for a reason. Of course, people want to be scared of it. Of course, people are going to be scared of hanging and shoot and firing squad. And yet now they make it the lethal injection. And then, of course, the last thing I want to mention to you is we will put into place, and eventually the rest of the country will follow, the question of illegal immigration, whether it should be turned over to the Minutemen, whether it's something the Border Patrol should...
Whether it should be turned over to the who?
The Minutemen.
The Minutemen?
Yes, sir. As a posse to patrol the border and to be a little bit more aggressive.
So all of these things you're talking about are adopted by the Texas school system, correct?
That is correct.
All right. Why should the rest of the country follow Texas's lead? I personally, listening to a lot of the things you're saying...
Well, I think they should follow the lead, Mr. Anderson.
Well, but I listen to a lot of the things you're saying. I don't like them. I don't think Sam Houston is more significant than Thomas Jefferson. I don't necessarily think the firing squad and hanging is the way to go when it comes to a death penalty. I'm in favor of the death penalty, but I don't know that we have to bring back hanging and the firing squad. So when you talk about the rest of the country... You know?
Well, look, Texas has always led this country, as I mentioned, educational, technological. This is something that will be adopted by the other states in our union because Texas has adopted it. And that's what makes me excited about it, because there's not going to be too much of a debate when people see that Texas has adopted this. It becomes a de facto way of educating our young people. Texas history curriculum has been unfairly skewed to the left after years of the Democrats. One of the reasons, because they call it the Democratic, America is democratic, and that gives the Democrats more of a way to, get their propaganda out, which we think is unfair.
All right, we're speaking with Austin Amarca here. He's a native of, whereabouts in Texas are you from, Austin?
I'm originally from Austin, Texas. Austin is my first name, and I was actually named after the city I was born in. My family, the family name of Marka, is a German-Austrian name, but I'm originally from Austin. I graduated from the University of Texas, and I came out here in the early 80s.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. The new Texas school curriculum includes an emphasis on Sam Houston as more significant than Thomas Jefferson. It says that the Texas state constitution is actually a better written and prepared document than the U.S. Constitution. And it says that the days of hanging and firing squads were superior to today's lethal injection because it was more of a deterrent. According to Mr. Remarca, this is in the Texas new social studies curriculum, and will eventually make it its way into the rest of the United States school curriculums. 877-876-PHIL. Your calls with Austin Remarca up next. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. Mr. Austin Remarca joining us from Lancaster, California, a Texas native, and a man who is commenting on the Texas school board adopting a new social studies curriculum. You heard some of the people that were commenting there, by the way, Mr. Remarca. They're, as I mentioned, the American Federation of Teachers, the Education Secretary, NAACP. They don't like it, but I guess, do you think they're too liberal?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that goes without saying that they're too liberal. I think even they probably know that that's what the criticism is going to be. Look, we know that these liberals are out of step with where the American people are at right now. Texas has had such a pivotal a position in the history of this country, and yet we have of late, our state has been made fun of. Our governor has been called a kook. People are laughing at the discussion of whether secession is a legitimate topic to be discussed. They're laughing at our state. They're laughing at our people. And why is that? Because people are not educated. They don't understand that Texas has always led the way. When I mentioned to you that...
Well, you said that Texas, they wanted to make Texas, they wanted to have the capital of the country in Texas. Texas was not even a part of the United States.
Yes, that's correct at the time, but they were already recognized the pivotal place that Texas had geographically and wanted to move on making Texas the center of the country, even if it meant invading and annexing Texas.
When was this?
This is a part of history, Mr. Henry, that has been recorded.
Well, I've never heard of it, and I'm a very big history freak when it comes to our country. I've never heard of our founding fathers. Are you talking about the 18th century?
Look, the curriculum is very, very clear. I can't get into debating historical points on a talk show, which is primarily for mass consumption. Texas is one of the original. The idea to make Texas an original part of this country was discussed. Students don't know this, and as a result, people laugh at Texas, and they think that we don't know what we're talking about. And so we've got to teach our students about these historical points and get rid of this liberal bias.
Well, what textbook are you going to use to say to students that Texas was considered to be an original part of the country?
I am not a teacher. I'm just telling you that we need more truth in our curriculum. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I just don't know where the truth is going to be coming from. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Teddy on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Teddy. You're on with Austin Remarca. And Teddy's in Houston, Texas right now. Go ahead.
Hey, Phil, how's it going?
778-76-PHIL, as we're talking here with Austin Remarca about the Texas School Board adopting new social studies curriculum. Now, what we have here is a curriculum that also says the Constitutional Republic is what it's going to be called, not the Democratic Republic.
Right, that is correct.
Now, you say that the calling it the Democratic Republic is... promotes the Democratic Party. What I'm trying to ask you here, sir.
Well, calling it the Democratic Republic most certainly makes it sound like it's the Democratic Party that runs things. Yes, sir.
No, but what I'm trying to say to you is democracy, and hence democratic, is simply a way of describing the process by how we govern.
No, I know all of that. I've heard all of that. What I have not, you know. That is a very convenient way of saying that there are better, you know, this got nothing to do with. All I'm saying is, and I don't know if what you're saying is true, when you call it the Democratic Republic, you're putting Democrat before Republic, and therefore you're putting Democrat before Republican. In Texas, we're going to change that so it's constitutional. That's all I'm saying.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with Mr. Amarca here and talk more about the Texas School Board's new social studies curriculum and your phone calls in a moment of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. On the line with me, Austin Amarca from Lancaster, California. This gentleman is a native of Texas, originally moved to California in the early 1980s. And I'm going to ask you, sir, what do you do for a living?
I'm a construction contractor. I do interior work.
You're a contractor, construction?
Yes, sir.
All right. You mentioned that Sam Houston... In the Texas curriculum, Sam Houston is more important than Thomas Jefferson. Tell me how that works again.
Well, look, you know, you say, tell me how it works again. I'm not here to Texas has been mocked long enough.
I'm not here to mock Texas either. You're saying to me that in the Texas curriculum, the Constitution of Texas is considered to be a better written document than the U.S. Constitution, right?
That is correct, yes, sir.
Why?
Because the reason why it is superior is because it was written in a state that is the largest state, that is probably the most populous state. I don't know, but it probably is. It's a very big state, and a lot of business is done in Texas, and there's a lot of everything going on. So it stands to reason that the Constitution of Texas is going to be way superior to the United States Constitution. The people of Texas are trying to do a favor for the American people, and that is we're going to throw out the liberal bias that has been infecting the curriculum in our schools, and we're going to put in the Christian fundamentals. We're going to emphasize the Christian fundamental as opposed to the Judeo, because that's Jewish, and we do feel that too much of the Jewish aspect of business has been emphasized in our schools, and we want to emphasize more of the Christian businessman and how savvy he is.
And what do you mean too much of the Jewish businessman?
Well, when you say Judeo-Christian, and that's true, but it opens the door for people to start talking about how good Jews are with money, and they are very good. But nobody ever talks about how good Christians are. And in the Texas curriculum, we're going to have that.
In the Texas curriculum, you're going to have a part of the curriculum that talks about Christian businessmen.
Yes, sir, because the liberal school curriculum that American kids have been working under thus far has been emphasizing all of the Jewish business people and how they make all this money, but never do they talk about Christian businessmen, and they can be smart too at money, not just Jews.
And then you have, okay, so all of this, and then finally, is it better to shoot to kill immigrants at the border or handle it with the border guards?
Well, this has always been a question. It's not that we endorse one or the other, but why is the debate no longer handled in our schools?
All right, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. You've heard Mr. Amarca just outline some of the changes, according to him, in the Texas new social studies curriculum. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. We've got Carlos in Isla Vista, California. Carlos, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil, this guy is completely whack. Where does he get his facts? It sounds like
you're in California, so what do you know about it?
Well, I know a lot more.
7-6, Phil, world famous Phil Hendry Show. I'll be right back.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. And don't forget, online at philhendryshow.com, you can take a look at our video, as well as the streaming audio that we've got. This Texas School Board new social studies curriculum, in addition to, you know, Sam Houston and the rest, and playing up the Judeo-Christian influences of the nation's founding fathers and attempting to water down rationale for the separation of church and state, the standards are going to refer to the U.S. government as a constitutional republic rather than a democratic, and the students will be required to study the decline in the value of the U.S. dollar, including the abandonment of the gold standard. You know, they say it's basically an attempt to balance, you know, what's been going on in the schools lately, or maybe over the last 20 years or 30 years or 40 years. I don't know. But the good news is it's Texas. You know, it's not like all 50 states. If you don't like it, if you do, then, hey, Texas sounds like a really good place to move to. But I, you know, I don't know. I will tell you that if you want to reinterpret the Constitution, that's cool. I mean, people do it all the time, you know. In other words, the Constitution of the United States is interpreted primarily based upon contemporaneous times, you know. For instance, black people were slaves, and then they're free. It was constitutional to keep them slaves, then suddenly it wasn't constitutional. Well, how did that happen? How is it constitutional at one point for a guy to be in chains and picking cotton, and then it's constitutional not to have that? How is it constitutional at one point for a woman not to vote? Then all of a sudden it is constitutional. How did that happen? Well, they were wrong. No, they weren't wrong. No, they weren't wrong at all. I mean, talk to people today, they'll say the founding fathers had the right idea. And then, of course, when you say to them, well, did they have the right idea when it came to slaves and women? And they'll say, well, they don't know what the hell they're talking. Look at most of the people you talk to about the founding father, they wouldn't know a founding father, you know, from a gopher hole. They don't know what it is. They don't know what they're talking about, what the founding fathers wanted. We got people now that are writing books about the anti-federalists. What does that mean? It means, you know, there were guys that wrote the Constitution. Yeah, that's cool. Great. But what about the people that didn't like the Constitution? Why aren't we hearing from them? Oh, okay, all right, I mean, you know, you think their ideas may apply now? Yeah, because now we're of a mind in this country where, first of all, we don't know a damn thing about the Constitution, but we, you know, what little we do know about it, a lot of people don't like it now. It's too liberal. Oh, I know, the judges of the Supreme Court are interpreting it too liberally. That's what the problem is, you know. You got a Supreme Court, their job is to look at the laws of the land to see if they're constitutional. If they agree with the ruling of the court, well, the court, these guys are great. If they don't, these guys are too liberal. They're making law from the bench. Some of the stupidest conversation you're going to hear is around the nomination of Supreme Court justices, right? I mean, it doesn't get much dumber. It doesn't, I swear to God, it doesn't get much dumber than listening to Americans talking about who's going to get nominated for the Supreme Court. Even some of the so-called brightest people in the country wind up sounding like the dumbest bastards when they're talking about Supreme Court justices, their nomination, and whether they're qualified and whether they're making. That's why, finally, I think we've had it up to here with that jazz. Every time they say, we got a new, like this Kagan, right? Is she a lesbian? I've got more ways to deliver information and less information to deliver. So anyway, they think that the curriculum of the school has been a little too liberal, whatever that means, and so they want to change it, and maybe the tenor of the country is changing. You know, maybe I do know this. I don't know how to say this, but it does appear to be, and it's actually kind of a good thing, it does appear to be the majority of Americans are still very anti-European. What do I mean by that? I don't mean that we hate French people, although I guess a lot of people do. What I mean is we don't, whatever they do over there, we don't want to do here. And that's pretty much how America has gone. We don't give a damn. I don't care if things are liberalizing over there. And what we don't recognize is that Europe is like taking its cue from us. Whatever happens in America, the Europeans kind of, you know, go the same way. But We don't want to have anything to do with Europeans. We never have and we never will. Even to the point where we still call it feet, not meters. We still call it an inch, not a micrometer or whatever the hell it is. We still say that it's a mile, it ain't a kilometer. We don't even want to do that. Well, what about, no, hey, what do you mean kilometer? There ain't none of that. None of that contagion. Okay, and you guys may have this, that, and something. But we're going to do, we're going the other way with it. That's just the way it's always going to be, right? The problem is that the people today think that the country suddenly got really violent, magically got really violent. And the reason why it magically got really violent is all of these newfangled ideas at raising children and free sex and this and that and something else. Well, maybe, but all of the stuff that happened was really necessary.
What do you mean necessary in terms of what? On account of the promiscuousness and everything?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. First of all, America after World War II, we started shaving our heads with flat tops, and we wore chino pants, and we looked military because we were still in this garrison. We were fighting wars, you know. Here comes the commies. We just got rid of the Nazis. Now here come the commies. And we were all of a sudden, when the 60s arrived, we all of a sudden realized we got nobody to fight. I mean, the thing's over. Why are we fighting? Why are we having all these wars? It's the culture. It just is a natural reaction. So all of a sudden, everybody let their hair down and started partying. And now they're kind of reacting against that. Now they're returning. The American people were returning to those old values, you know, like at the turn of the 20th century. It's got nothing to do with whether the people are good or bad. It's just a natural, it's a natural cycle. And so now we're going back to things, and even so-called liberals, progressives, even they are singing the family value thing, right? Oh, my children, my wife, my kids, the whole thing, it's beautiful, and we're going to go to church, and I'm a Christian, you know, like that. And at the same time, you know, we want to be America, we want to be fair, but there's nothing to panic over, okay? And it certainly is no reason to pick up history books and start playing it fast and loose with the information. Now, I don't mind people saying, you know, that the founding fathers, some of them had Judeo-Christian values. They did. Their letters, their public proclamations, much of what they said and much of what they wanted to communicate didn't have a whole lot to do with religion. But okay, if you want it to be, I guess. But you don't want to start getting into the whole, why is the gold standard no longer, you know, and the value of the gold standard as opposed to, all you want to do when it comes to history is tell people why things happened. Why did that happen? Well, it was stupid. Well, wait a minute, man. I don't even know why the hell it happened. You know, what do you mean stupid? Well, we abandoned the gold standard, and that was really a bad... Wait a minute. First of all, you got to tell me why we abandoned the gold standard. Why did we do that? Well, number one, a couple of things happened, and I mentioned it to Austin, what's his name? One of them was the impracticality of transporting gold. Literally, folks, in order to have credit in Europe, American banks had to transfer gold in ships. And during a war, when there were U-boats running around, a lot of those ships got blown up. Americans were stuck in Europe. They had no money. But that was nothing compared to what was about to happen to the world's economy. And we had four of the brightest men on the planet getting together to try to figure things out. One of them was the head of the U.S. Reserve. Another was the head of the German bank who went on to work for Hitler, a guy by the name of Helmut Schacht. Another was the head of the, I believe it was the British bank, and another the head of the French bank. And these guys got together and, you know, they were old school guys all the way. They wanted to hold on to the gold standard. But what happened to the world's economy was so traumatic, you see. Money needed to be moved. Banks needed to be saved. Credit needed to be extended. And, you know, getting people to stop squeezing that gold long enough to start to move some of that money around was getting near impossible. So what we decided to do is abandon that gold standard, continue to look at how quickly money was circulating through the economy, and, you know, we did what we did. I mean, we, you know, but to say, and you can argue until you, you know, drop dead, that the, you know, the policies of the 30s were bad, and the Depression would have been a, you know, much, much less had we just not thrown all this bread at the problem. And, you know, all of that Monday morning quarterbacking, you could take that and stick it, man. All I know is what was done and what eventually happened. And by the late 1940s, the United States was on its way to one of the most prosperous periods in its history. Okay? Not 10 years after a devastating depression, record deficits, record debt, world war, people starving and out of work. Within 10 years of the end of that, we were on our way to one of the most prosperous periods in the history of this country. 20 years after people said the following things: capitalism is dead, democracy is dead. They were saying this in the early 30s. When the Depression hit, people were writing, and they were writing it seriously, this is the end of capitalism as we know it. This is the end. The end. We had the communists coming up one side. We had the Nazis coming down the other. And we were stuck in the middle thinking, man, we are old news. America's old news. Look at all these Nazis. Look at all these commies. These guys got the right idea. Look at us. We're in a depression. We suck. Guess what we're doing now? We're doing the same thing. We're talking like the same bunch of twits that we were back in the 30s. Same stupid stuff about communism, Nazism, and how it's all going to take over. You know, Americans are beautiful, man. They always have very little faith in themselves until you pin them down and they've got no way out. And then they finally find their guts and they get, you know, they get to work. But 20 years after they predicted the end of capitalism, 20 years after they predicted the end of capitalism, after we had record deficits, record debt, record unemployment, a world war that killed tens of millions, America was on its way to record prosperity. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There isn't one of these silly bastards that I listen to tonight on television or radio, not a one of these silly little stupid fools who would have been around back then saying that America's on its way to record prosperity. They'd all be talking the way they're talking right now. I don't know, man. We're in a big, oh boy. Woo, man, I'm telling you, this is bad. Oh, yeah, it's bad. Unless we get our act, really, unless we do what, man? Well, we have to stop this record spending. At record spending, I got a little news flash for you. What's that? We got a war to fight, man. Looks like we're going to be spending more money. Well, that's necessary. Oh, that's necessary because why? Because we got to kick the Nazis' ass. There's a lot of lessons to be learned from that period. It only happened 60 years ago, and people are so stupid when it comes to that period of American history. You want to cry. You want to cry. And yet there it is, staring us right in the face every day. Every day. Don't give me this bull crap about, is it Keynesian or was it really, you know, forget about that, man. Take a look at that. Just take a step back and see what happened. During a period where there was record deficit, record spending, record debt, and there was unemployment, then what? A world war. What did they do? They had to spend even more money. What do you think would happen to half of these little Mary Janes that we listen to on the radio and look at on television if today America was involved in a war that we could not avoid, a world war, not something in Iraq and Afghanistan. I mean, a pull out the stops, mobilize 3-4 million men, 5 million men and women in uniform, pull out the stops and go to war on a massive scale. What do you think they'd be saying? Because guess what? That's spending more money. Oh, my God, it's the end. Yeah, it's the end, all right. The end of what, man? So all of that bread is spent, all of that pain and suffering, all of those dead people, unemployed people, hungry people, quasi-hungry people. Debt, deficit, world war. armaments, manufacturing, more money, more money, more money. And when the whole thing is said and done, 1947, 1948, the country is on its way to the prosperity of the Eisenhower years. There's not one super genius economist or any other simple-minded clown that you can listen to today that would have predicted it. They ain't predicting it now. They wouldn't have predicted it then. And it's the basic reason is they're ideological. They're not historical. They're ideological. They don't look at facts. They just look at things through the lens of ideology. It'll screw you up every time, man. You'll be raped by it. Trust me when I tell you, because...
Still sore?
A little bit. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.